Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 12th of July, 2021. I'm joined by Carl.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about how diversity is our strength, the Aussie COVID tyranny, and also the Cuba anti-communist action that's currently taking place, which looking forward to. So first thing I want to mention was some of the premium stuff we have on the website. So the first thing here, the epochs you did with Bo. Presumably you did this with Bo, I'm not really sure. Also about Charles Martel. You're going to have to tell me about this because I
don't know who Charles Martel is?
No. Isn't he the guy who fought the Battle of Tours against the Ottomans?
Exactly right, yeah.
Ah, all right,
not against the Ottomans, against the Moors. But he's the man who prevented France from becoming an Islamic caliphate.
Damn.
Very interesting. No, and his entire life's a very interesting story. And he's one of Europe's great generals, and so he's worth talking about.
Great. Damn. Anyway, so let's go to the next thing, which is a free article from John Tagney on lotuses.com about bookshops being political barometers. I haven't had time to read this, but I thought I'd mention it. Go and check that out. And also the contemplations just went up over the weekend between Hugo. I think was this Hugo and you? Or Hugo?
It was, yeah. This was a really interesting one because we went through a bunch of the UN propaganda they've been putting out, and it's weird and cringe, but I won't spoil it. I'll let you watch it for yourself, but it's pretty awful. It's the antithesis of everything I would like to see out of a political organization, but what are you going to do?
I saw 2 days ago they posted that all hate speech is the stepping stone to the Holocaust, which is like, okay, the worst thing in the world, speech. And also that there was a big image of just the words diversity is our strength. It's like, okay. It's weird how overcommentating you are, but without further ado, let's get into it.
I feel there may have been some more steps between speaking and the Holocaust.
Yeah.
That maybe
so
they're
too.
Overlooking. But anyway, right.
Let's get right into diversity as our strength.
So, England lost at the sports ball. Now, I'm not a football fan. I'm not a football supporter. Are you?
No.
No, right. So, the interest that we have in the England results is purely political. And so, if you're an England fan, I'm sorry that the team lost. I'm not going to say but. I'm sorry the England team lost. I don't like seeing England lose. And see, I didn't say but there, because every time you say but, that negates everything you said. And there's a lot to talk about when it comes to the politics of this particular season, and indeed this particular match. And so I think it's worth beginning with Machiavelli's dictum on wars. You think, well, that seems a bit out of place, but no. Wars begin where you will, but don't end when you please. And that goes for all kinds of wars, including culture wars, because this was being framed before the loss as a victory for diversity, and all the England victories building up were being played as, diversity, inclusion, tolerance, and Marxism as being the reason that England is doing so well.
And proof that these things were true.
Yes. So just before we start this, I just want to say that we oppose the racialization of politics. Right? I personally, and I mean, I speak for everyone here, we don't think that race is an acceptable organizing principle for political advocacy and action. So you shouldn't be pointing out someone's race and saying it's because of their race, it's because of diversity, inclusion, whatever else, nonsense like that, because this is just anti-liberal, frankly.
Doesn't map onto reality.
No, it doesn't map onto reality, but it's also an active ploy by the communists to try and make liberal democracies unstable by introducing and increasing divisions between segments of the population. And so I don't think we should have race politics at all. But the thing is, when you do set up the game in the way that they do and include race politics in our political discourse, don't be surprised when the opposing side also takes the field, especially after you have a particularly sour loss. So just to show you that this has been highly politicized by the left, this particular team and series of events. You get the memes that were going around. Oh, England, as they were winning and as they beat Ukraine, this is a victory for Marxism, was very, very popular on the internet, as you can imagine. This is what Marxism has done for English football, martial arts, says one Ash Sarkar, who we'll hear more from later. Big football fan, Ash. Marxism is coming home, and so it transpires that all the time the missing ingredient from English football is Marxism, as you can see, like just over and over and over from various verified check marks and talking heads on the internet, on Twitter in particular. So it's basically people's trying to make it look like England's victories are coming from Marxism, which, I mean, who knows? Maybe they did. Ever since the England team embraced Marxism, they've been excellent. Woo. excuse me. Right, so It's obviously not just the straight-up communists who are claiming that the England team belongs to them. It's also queer people as well, bizarrely. Pink News did, like...
What?
I mean, just why not, right? So it's because they wore the armbands, isn't it? With football coming home, proud LGBT plus fans share what the beautiful game means to them. And of course, this is the queering of football by Pink News. So they spoke to a bunch of just gay fans, I guess we'll call them. For example, you've got Dee Cunningham, who's the organiser of the Proud Canaries, Norwich City's LGBT plus fan group, and a founding member of Three Lions Pride, who says, "When we formed Three Lions Pride, there was a security and alternate sense of belonging that I really needed from football. Now we have over 50 of these LGBT plus fan groups, and I think things are definitely starting to improve. I was lucky enough to be at the England match the other day, and I realized I'd never seen such a diverse crowd. Young, old, disabled, able-bodied, all different ethnicities." Fascinating. Fascinating stuff. But as you can see...
These people couldn't have missed the point more. Like, she mentions there about the unity feeling around it.
Yeah.
That's because when it's a national team, the unity comes from being within the nation. Yes. And you find all groups. It does not... We do not need, like, a working class substrata of how they feel about the national team and an upper class substrata group to also feel about how they feel about the national team. Because everyone's just England.
Yeah.
Therefore, you don't need to also segregate off queers
or
Marxists.
Or you could have party political politics, as in this left-wing politics is their little tiny rainbow football car that apparently pushed the balls out onto the pitch. Because politics? Why not? And of course, the England team, Gareth Southgate, was wearing...
It had to be Volkswagen as well, didn't it?
It had to be the people's wagon, Callum. Had to be the people's wagon, getting all political. Weird. Anyway, and of course, Gareth Southgate wore the rainbow armband because, again, he's an Islamophobe and doesn't care what the Quran has to say about the people of Lut. So, joking, of course, he's promoting his political brand. And this was something that resonated. I mean, like, The Guardian were pumping out articles like this. Hijabis can be proud of the Three Lions.
What?
I don't know.
That sounds like a slur.
I know.
Hijabis.
I didn't write it. this is what they call themselves, women who wear the hijab, hijabis.
Right.
So they say, with Gareth Southgate in charge, we three hijabis can be proud of the Three Lions. The England team is taking a stand against bigotry, and people like my friends and me feel that they're playing for all of us.
Right, so they have a political message.
They do. Huda was born and raised in Baghdad. So she good thing the England team's
born and
representing
raised.
Her. Okay. Yeah, that's what they say. Born and raised in Baghdad, arrived in London as a refugee and learned English as a teenager. So the England team represents Iraqi refugees. Her friend is a mixed-race Libyan-English woman and travelled from Manchester. And so they say, people of colour and marginalised people we know are a tiptoe away from racism and bigotry, which is why Gareth Southgate's inclusive England team is winning so many hearts. By taking the knee, by standing against homophobia and bigotry, this team is playing for all of us. All of the refugees. And Gareth Southgate was quite forthright about his views on politics. I mean, he put the Dear England, the Dear England statement out that was very well received, where he says, I have a responsibility to the wider community to use my voice and so do the players. It's their duty to continue to interact with the public on matters such as equality, inclusivity, and racial injustice, while using the power of their voices to help put debates on the table, raise awareness, and educate. Weird, I thought their duty was to win football matches, but what do I know? I'm not a football fan.
This is what leftism does to you. It arises duties that don't make any sense, and all the duties happen to just come from Marxist doctrine.
Weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the original purpose of the thing. I mean, like a business, they have a duty to global, you know, climate. It's like, I'm a bakery in Swindon.
I could make you a muffin. Anyway, so this was described as Sky News as winning the culture war, and they just say it. Southgate's England are winning the culture war as well as the football. God, that aged well. I love all these takes. All of these insufferable takes that age really badly. So this
is what the team is about, though. It's all about this proves that diversity is our strength.
That's the point. That's exactly the point. Look at all these victories England have won. Diversity must be our strength. Marxism's coming home. What? They represent all of those refugees.
If we win, that proves that anti-racism is the way. What does that prove if you lose, then?
That's the question. So, yeah, Gareth Southgate's open letter, this was in response to, almost half the squad are black or from ethnically diverse backgrounds, and all of them know what it is to be abused on social media. It's not very nice. The game and its followers have come a long way since the 80s, but a nasty right-wing strain has clung to the fringes of England's support, evident in the chorus of No Surrender, still regularly heard during the national anthem.
What's wrong with that?
No, I don't know.
There's no surrender to the Taliban. I mean, we're at war with the Taliban.
Seems like the sort of thing the gamins would say.
What? But like, you know the song, No Surrender, No Surrender. I think it's No Surrender to the Taliban, and then we're at war with them, so who cares?
I don't know any of my football chants.
All right, well.
I just know that white people, white working class people are singing it, and therefore they're bad. Sadiq Khan, of course.
We're at war with them.
Yeah, but, you know, are the refugees at war with them?
North London sides with the Taliban, all right.
Well, Jeremy Corbyn sided with the Taliban, and he's from Islington North, so...
No, you've got me.
Checkmate. Sadiq Khan put out his nice statement. Again, all of this just... If you're gonna politicize things along the lines of race, and you're going to adopt the attitude that winning means confirmation for your politics, then if you lose... You know what that means. Sadiq Khan, here in England, we don't just tolerate our diversity, we respect, embrace, and celebrate it. The England team would not exist without immigration. Choose love. Next one is just a verified checkmark. They represent diversity. excuse me. They say, tonight is not just about a football match. It's about a group of young people led by a brave man who excel at what they do and want to make a difference. They represent diversity, respect, a new generation that embraces issues that matter. I'm cheering for England. This is an Oxford academic BBC documentary maker and writer.
And she's used an image of them taking the knee here.
And she is watching our team bend the knee to Marxism. She must be thrilled. It's been a success story for diversity, as they say. Whatever happens today, England's performance in this tournament has been a success. It's a success story for diversity, for immigration, for standing up against injustice.
See how this isn't a success for the England team? It isn't a success for the football talent we produce? No, it's a success for immigration.
Yeah.
This is what happens. If you bring your politics into the discussion, well, then it's all about the politics. It has nothing to do with the original.
And the picture, if you're listening and can't see it, is a picture of all of the English people crossed out, and
the opposite.
All of the immigrants. Sorry, crossed out, and then the three English people left, and saying England without immigration. There'd be English people on the team if England didn't have immigration.
Like they just have another player there instead.
Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah, I mean, the argument they're making, ironically, is actually the sort of nativist argument, saying, well, look, all of these immigrants are taking jobs that English people could have had.
Mm. I also love how they're saying they're not English because they've immigrated.
Yes, which is another mask-off moment. But I love what this says. This team represents the best of us, united, diverse, principled, and compassionate. What, foreign? Like, 8 out of the 11 players are foreign or immigrants, so you're saying they're the best of England, are you? Is there nothing good about England? Nothing validating or redeeming about England? Apparently not. So anyway, yeah, moving on, if we can get to the next one, John. This was a particularly provocative post that had... Can we just scroll down and see how many likes it's got now?
It was 170,000, 120,000, something like that.
Just 178,000 likes.
Oof.
178,000 likes. And so this person, Reema Ahmed, says, never thought I'd wear this shirt, but from standing for racial equality to feeding school kids, this squad have made it clear they represent me. So if you're not a progressive, this squad doesn't represent you.
Racial equality. I mean, we've said this in the past, but I'm going to labour it here again, just for anyone's joining. Racial equality. What does that mean? Like, equality along racial lines, not equal treatment. Because it's a communist value, equality, not the liberal value, which is freedom.
Hmm. For anyone who ever used these lines to scare us, take a good look. This is England. Hmm. And if you don't like it, you go home.
Go where?
Yeah.
This is my home. I can't go anywhere else.
I actually didn't come from anywhere else. Sorry.
It's kind of how that works.
And in fact, if you were telling me to, you know, telling English people to go to other people's countries kind of sounds pro-colonization. In fact, this whole thing sounds pro-colonization. She replies to this afterwards. A note to the racist, Islamophobic, sexist trolls who inevitably show up whenever a tweet of mine goes viral. A warning. After broadcasting through the entire pandemic, I'm on my first proper bit of annual leave for months. I have time today, babies. F around and find out. What, you can tweet at them? Was it? Oh, God, no, she's on Twitter. But anyway, so this is the kind of attitude that you can see has been very prominent. And of course, all of the non-English nations of Europe were pretty much saying, yeah, good point. The Guardian decided, yeah, well, normally the Scots and the Welsh are very much anyone but England. But this time, the English team is progressive. And so actually, they find themselves warming to the England team. Liam Murray said he would be supporting England on Sunday, despite being an Ayrshire Scot.
What an embarrassment for the Scots and the Welsh.
What, being saved by the Italians?
No, being pro-progressivism.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well,
that's obviously all it takes. Like, pronouns in the bio and they'll support you. There's no substance.
The character of Southgate and the team are part of why the anti-English attitudes are softening. So if the English just become woke scolds, then everyone will like them. Don't you understand?
Except the English.
Compared to 30 years ago, when football stars were more from the rock star mold, I think progressive Scots are quietly impressed by Marcus Rashford's school meals campaigning, their stance on taking the knee, and the team's apparent independence from the worst parts of the UK media. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. And so you get memes like this going around, where people, if you can see it, it's the, what's this, Drake guy? You know, that meme of him being in favour of something and against something, England or the England team. 35,000 likes when I came across this. Again, 37,000 likes now. So again, another massively popular tweet that I think represents a fairly broad swathe of opinion.
They hate England, everything about it, but they like this team because it's called the England team.
Because it's very progressive. It's staffed by immigrants and it's incredibly diverse.
And in their eyes, that makes it non-English, and therefore they support it.
That seems to be the
case.
That's
their opinion.
And all of these people who are not English and say, well, this is what England really looks like. What? Foreigners? Okay. What am I supposed to say about that? Like, you're the one saying, I'm not the one saying, you know, England can never be represented by foreigners. You're the one saying that foreigners only represent England. So, okay. Weird. So you got conservatives saying, well, look, right, it might be a bit absurd to project political ideals onto the England team, but then they've been politicising themselves so much, how could you not?
What a weird take.
It's
absurd to project personal political ideas onto the England team. They're doing it, though. Like, they are personally doing it. They're making this decision to do X, Y, and Z, make X, Y, and Z statement, and therefore they are judged for that.
They are, but you can see where Nick's trying to go. He's trying to avoid this. But anyway, he says, it's no surprise then that the Prime Minister has attended matches wearing an England shirt and posts photographs standing on a giant cross of St. George. Don't know why he can't do that on a normal day, to be honest. But in our divided times, Boris's support has sent his opponents into spasms of fury. This England team aren't playing for the Tories' version of the country, screamed a headline in The Observer, that's The Guardian. But for what version of the country were Harry Kane et al. Supposed to be playing? Were they playing for Remainers, not Leavers? Yes. Were for those who believe in open borders, not immigration controls? Yes. For those who dismiss displays of patriotism in any other circumstance as vile or racist? Yes, very much so. That's exactly the kind of people that they were pandering to. That's exactly the kind of country they wish us to become. And so the final match with England and Italy took place.
So because of that, it became a dichotomized on those lines.
Yes.
And there was no one else that did this. It was they did it to themselves.
Yes. And so, yes, it came to the final match. It was 1-1 England and Italy, went into extra time, and then went to penalties. Now, as I said, I'm not a football fan, but I am old enough to know that when England go into extra time and penalties with Italy, they lose. Yeah. Like, it's such a famous cliche. You don't need to be a football fan to know that that's the case. And so Gareth Southgate decided to take his three young I hate to bring up the fact that they're black, but the three young black men to
the only black guys on the team
to take the final penalties. This was weird because they weren't experienced in taking penalties. He could have chosen particularly experienced members of his team to take these penalties, but unfortunately, I suppose they were white. So the question about all of these sort of affirmative action diversity hiring now looms large. Did he choose them because they were black, or did he choose them because he thought they were going to be the best for the job? And if he chose them because he thought they were going to be best for the job, why? Because they weren't experienced in doing this. So why did he think they were going to be the best for it? But this is what happened. I actually really feel this guy's pain here, right? Because that like a nice open goal, he's gone to the right, you're obviously going to the left, and then you hit the bar and it goes off, and you just think, oh, Jesus Christ. You know, I can totally feel his pain there, right? And so this is where it all started kicking off. And I just want to be very, very clear about my opinion. Don't send racist messages to people online, full stop, let alone like some... And the argument these guys are young, you know, like 19, 20, 21, something like that. It can't be fun that they're going to get all this stuff. And if I were them, I'd just log off, frankly. I just wouldn't go on social media. But don't do that. It's really awful. And so let's get into the reaction to this, because it turns out that all of the white English players scored their goals or saved their penalties, whereas it was the three black players who missed. And normally that to me means nothing. However, because this has all been racialized, because it's all been put under the framework of diversity and inclusion and tolerance.
Like if leftists hadn't made this highly political, it wouldn't and political be along the lines of racial identity politics, then there'd be none of this reaction.
It would probably be an age question. It'd be like, oh, the young guys missed, the older guys got it, you know? But instead, it's about their race. And so now, the table's been set, the game is being played, it's all done along racial lines, and, okay, well, diversity isn't very much of their strength when it came to penalties, right? And so, I mean, you got people instantly, like the Italians, don't get me wrong, seem to have played a dirty game. I didn't watch it, so I don't know. I'm just going on what other people have said. In a now deleted tweet, this one person put, Italy didn't deserve to win, not after the dirty game they played and the actions of this racist ass who didn't even get a red card. I'm actually gutted for the England squad. It's one of the Italian players pulling over one of the black England players.
Like the collar of his shirt.
And he pulls him to the ground. I saw the clip. Like, it's obviously a dirty move.
Is it because he's black?
It's not proof of racism. It's proof that the Italians are cheating scum. And that's not racist either. but anyway, so John, did we want to see the profile? Can we see his profile? Yeah, I haven't actually...
The profile of the person who posted this.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, we won't do it then. Oh, God.
Apocalyptically thick, she, her, 24, UK, fat macro mom, verified giraffe, momnivorous. Okay, yeah.
What a mess. Right. What an absolute mess.
No wonder she's just like, right, there's the Italian guy.
Racism did this.
Yeah, racism did this. Yeah, exactly. And so, like we said, we would not racialize this. I would put it down to experience. Normally, but of course, black activists decided we are going to racialize this. All of the Americans who noticed this, who are also black, seems to have pointed out that they're black. I mean, this one person, all those that missed the penalties for England are blacks. Thank you, black activist. My heart goes out to my black brothers in England. Black Lives Matter.
Purge Yankees. I'm sick of Yankee ideology. I'm so over it.
No, I totally am. It's not what this is about, but I mean, I guess it is if you make it about that, I suppose.
But they're the ones who have done this. I mean, all of this building up, that's all from Yankee ideology.
Diversity and inclusion, Black Lives Matter, taking the knee. This is all American ideology.
Hmm. Specifically, we should make out leftist American ideology.
Specifically leftist. But the memes kind of made themselves, because... Like, in the background, you've got all these signs like, oh, diversity this, diversity that. And so people are just like, well, here you go. Diversity missed. What now?
You did this to yourselves.
Yeah. No one would have brought up the guy's race. No one would have brought it up. Well, I mean, you know, okay, maybe a bunch of gammons would have brought it up. But like we, you know, the normal people, normal fans would not have brought this up. But you guys made it all about diversity. And so everyone... then turned to Gareth Southgate. What's going on, Gareth? And he just came out and said, okay, look, I decided on the penalty takers in terms of the penalties. It's totally down to me. Yeah, you better fall into... I mean, at least he did the noble thing here and fell on his sword. Although he's not quitting, apparently. He's going to remain the England team captain, which... I
mean, manager.
I thought he was the captain.
No, manager.
Okay, well then, shut me up. But the point is, people were then being like, so did he send them out as a sacrifice? Again, just verify checkmark on Twitter. I didn't say anything because I didn't know S about S when it comes to European football, but it did kind of feel like he sent three young black men out there to either win or provide an irresistible target for deeply racist media to let him off the hook.
God, I mean, again, with the leftism, it's a win-win. Like, if the black guys score the goals and England wins, this proves that diversity is our strength. They lose? Well, this is racism.
That's exactly it.
Can't escape it, can you?
But the thing is, it's hard to think that Gareth Southgate, the incredibly woke progressive that he is, wasn't also thinking, well, I should give the three black lads a chance, right? I should get them out there, and if, you know, hopefully if they score, then we win, and everyone cheers them.
Everyone can cheer me for diversity.
Exactly. It's hard to think that he wasn't thinking anything like this. But I love the comment they're replying to. Southgate really had three under 23 players take the last penalties. He's Mussolini taking off his mask. I don't know, but it's really funny. But the next one, if you're black in England, go home right now.
It's an admission that the Italians aren't white.
Well, no, yeah, sure. But like, the point is, they think the random English people are going to start attacking random black people.
No, they were attacking random Italians.
Yes, they were.
If you're wondering, which is what happens after any game like this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not terribly surprising. Yeah. But then the N-word started trending on Twitter. This was early on. I saw this multiple times. 1,500 tweets with the N-word. The full N-word with the hard R.
But it wasn't banned?
That's a good question. That's
like Twitter
really
bans every hashtag that's inconvenienced them politically, and yet they left that one up.
Hard to believe that the N-word can trend on Twitter in 2021.
Like, they have filtered words.
They have lots of filtered words. And apparently the N-word isn't one of them.
Like, they just left it there. Alrighty then.
Just left it there. And yeah, so I mean, all I can conclude from that is that Twitter wants the N-word to trend. And apparently people reported hearing it just being shouted in the streets, the effing N-words and things like this. And it's like, oh God, this is just getting worse. And one of the players, called a chap called Saka, his Instagram was not pretty. Again, people just being really cruel online, frankly. It's just awful. It's really awful and not funny at all. So David Lammy came out. He was not happy about any of this, obviously. This is why we take the knee. Have you ever taken the knee, David?
God, what a solution.
Praying for a better future, worthy of the values, beauty, and respect exemplified by every England player. A lot of racism was unleashed by this.
Like, you spent months bigging up racial consciousness, as the critical race theorists would say. That is entirely the point of your ideology.
Yep.
Is to raise racial consciousness, especially among white and black people. And then, well, where does that lead? It leads either in one or two directions. England win, then we can celebrate, diversity is our strength, blah, 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 blah. Or it leads in the other way. I would rather we didn't have any racial consciousness, especially in something as national as a national team in sport. We could just have playing football, but...
Yeah. But I mean,
and then his solution, like, oh, we just need to take the knee harder.
I don't think I've ever seen David Lammy actually taking the knee, but maybe he doesn't have to because he's black. I actually don't know what the rules are. But the point is, it wouldn't have been this bad if they hadn't constantly hyped up the diversity. You got everyone thinking along racial lines, and now the other side, because you've lost, you staked everything on the England win.
You staked everything on race.
You staked, but not just that. You staked the racial argument on the victory of England. Because of their diversity, and that failed. So now the natural backlash is, okay, well, it failed because of the diversity. And you can, people have been repurposing your own diversity propaganda to do this. Like this, the Gillette advert, whereas the white guy who's going to go harass the woman, and the black guy steps in and goes, hey, man, you don't harass that woman. Well, get what you deserve, don't you?
Like, this is the flip sign of ideology.
Yes.
It's exactly the same. This is why the liberal side of it don't want anything to do with either side. It's why we hate you and your leftism, because it leads to this.
Yeah.
Because your ideology is just this.
Yeah. And then you had a lot of communist cope online, which I enjoyed. I watched Ash Sarkar on Owen Jones's podcast with Billy Bragg, or I think it was Billy Bragg. They were talking about how Ash seemed to very much fetishize the black players. She was very obsessed with Sarkar in particular. And he was the guy bending over, crying. And so, cope. Well, big cope.
You know what you guys are going to do?
Thought Marxism was coming home, Ash. Thought it was coming home. Inshallah. Don't know what happened. Anyway, yeah, huge amounts of cope online. Good morning to these three kings who should be protected at all costs.
What?
Well, those losers. They lost.
Like, presumably, like, okay, yeah, she's saying this is in response to the fact that they've had racist abuse.
Mm-hmm.
But what a weird thing to do. Like, the fetishization of race was the problem to begin with.
Yes.
And that's not going to make it better. Like, doing the same thing is not going to solve the problem.
When racism rears its ugly head, it's the underbelly I and many in the black community feared would arise. Well, why did you have to keep talking about race?
Why did you promote racism?
Yeah.
That is what leftist ideology is. It is what critical race theory is. And yet you were like, yeah, big more of that up.
You could have been talking about any other aspect of the football players that were in the England team. You could have talked about their experience, their competence, you know, outstanding event, feats that they'd accomplished. But no, you were like, they're black. Okay, well, you're very much signaling to those people on the other side of the argument who are like, yeah, they're black, and that's a bad thing. You're like, they're black, and that's a good thing. And where do you think they're going to go? Like, who do you think you're going to hear from? You know, you're not going to hear from people like us who don't want to talk about your race. You're going to hear from the people who do want to talk about your race. And so anyway, it carries on. Good morning to these kings. Again, like, sorry, you, like, I'm actually not impressed by people who don't win, you know, especially when all of this hype.
So that's the next one.
Yeah, if we can get to the next one, John.
Heroes. Kim Johnson. This is the black MP for yes. Liverpool, who's not black.
Heroes. Heroes win.
Yeah, it's weird. I kind of get the point of like, oh, well, these guys have suffered.
These millionaire footballers who've got the most exclusive jobs in the world are suffering, Callum.
They've been singled out for abuse, I should say. Not yeah, they're millionaires and all the rest of it. But okay, I get that point, but then to call them heroes or kings or victors? No.
They're losers. Sorry.
Well, second place.
First loser.
Okay.
they took off their second place medals as well.
Yeah, they did.
Weirdly. And if they'd, you know, taken the second place, I'd be like, okay, fair enough. It was a good show, you know, but that's not what's happened here. And they're not even being gracious in defeat. Like, no, these are like, it's Jeremy Corbyn all over again in 2017. We won the argument. No, you didn't. That wasn't what it was about. It was about whether you're going to get more goals than the other team, and you lost.
No, it was about Marxism the whole time.
Exactly. Big Cope from The Independent. Sorry, I know this is going on long, but there's so much, right? Big Cope from The Independent. We may have lost, but footballers still come home and everyone's invited. I don't want to go hang out with losers. Sorry. Why would I?
What do you mean?
These are still the best days of football's life and everyone's invited. This is such Cope. And it really is the thing that matters most. Maybe the ending wasn't the one that the viewers clamoured for, but it's very hard not to think this was only season one.
What?
This loss is only the first of many losses. Years from now...
There you go. I mean, there's the admittance. That has nothing to do with the sport. It has nothing to do with victory. It has to do with pushing politics.
Yeah.
And when they won that, they did get that.
Yeah. Everyone was very political until they lost.
And therefore, this is the first step into keep doing it. It doesn't matter how many football games they lose, as long as they get to push leftist ideology.
The Guardian had a good take here. We might have lost, but we could embrace being losers. England may have lost, but Southgate's team shows the nation we can be. What, losers? I want to be a nation of losers. Why do you want to be a nation of losers?
Well, we can be leftists.
Exactly. A nation of immigrants and leftists who lose. Not a big appeal to me, but I'll skip over what he's saying there because we're running out of time. And so a Conservative MP called Natalie Elphick was in an MP group chat yesterday, and this was leaked to Twitter. And she said, they lost. Would it be ungenerous to suggest that Rashford should have spent more time perfecting his game and less time playing politics? Well.
She's right.
She's not wrong. Hard to refuse.
So, what's the backlash against this? So the guy missed the goal. He should have spent more time training than...
Everyone is currently outraged by this statement. It's like, yeah, but he did miss.
As if the scoring of the goals is the important thing.
No. The politics is the important thing. And her saying, well, maybe you should have been less about the politics. And, of course, you get people like Mike Galsworthy, the arch-Remainer. Gary Neville ripping into Boris Johnson. He said Muslim women look like letterboxes. Okay, what the hell's this got to do with with football? Obviously nothing. It's all about... He's very, very angry because they want to put Boris as the reason that these footballers are getting racist abuse. As if they didn't get racist abuse before Boris and they won't get racist abuse after Boris. Boris himself, of course, turned around and said, this England team deserves to be lauded as heroes, not racially abused on social media. Yeah, that's what a racist would say. How to encourage people to be racist to the team, tell them not to be racist.
I don't know why he...
They're just angry. Boris, angry. Bad. Boris,
but I
racist.
Don't know why you wouldn't just be like, yeah, racism bad. I mean, as if that's controversial.
Yeah, well, I mean, literally everyone everywhere is like, racism bad. I mean, he's like, those responsible for this appalling abuse should be ashamed of themselves. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I saw Diane Abbott on GB News this morning claiming that we should criminalise these people, which, no.
I mean, they probably already are criminals.
Well, in the UK, yeah, but shouldn't be the case. Like, sure, disgusting, but it's words. It's not crime.
Yeah. But then you've got the defacing of a mural. I didn't even realize they'd put up a mural to one of the players. A mural to Marcus Rashford was defaced an hour after his penalty miss against Italy. Why are we putting up a mural of this guy as if he was some sort of conquering hero before he'd actually won?
Because he's a child hero of leftism.
Exactly. He's one of leftism's child soldiers. Yeah. And so this was defaced because the guy missed. But again, the question, why is it there? But no, this is now racism. It's like, no, it's not about his race, is it? It's about the fact that he lost.
If it was Gareth Southgate, would it be about racism?
Exactly. And it would still have got defaced, no doubt. But yeah, anyway, so that's... Well, I guess we'll leave it there because this has been sad for many, many people. And I just hate when the left is wearing something you love like a skin suit. I just can't stand it.
Hmm. I mean, that was the whole thing. The whole reason interested in this, again, not interested in football, but just the overtaking of something and being like, yes, I'm totally a footy fan. #Sarkar #communism.
Yeah.
And they were like, that's it. That's all it was for them. That's all they were interested in the whole time. Yeah. And sadly, they did actually, even though they've ruined the team, though, the fact that they lost there, that's not the important thing. The thing is that they managed to push their agenda.
And the thing, of course, is to cope about the defeat. Oh, no, this isn't diversity and inclusion that's been defeated. It's just racists are everywhere. Oh, God, all right, whatever.
Anyway, let's get into the Australian COVID tyranny. So again, this is going to have to start off with a little bit of football because everything does these days. So I just wanted to mention some of the hypocrisy we've seen. So we see Piers Morgan here in the first tweet, whining about how Freedom Day shouldn't be allowed, and instead we should be locked down forever. And then the next picture, him celebrating when we beat Denmark in a stadium full of thousands of people. Because
no mask.
He's a propagandist. Just propagandist. All these people, they don't care about this sort of thing. There's also the elites, who absolutely don't care, so we can get the next one up. There's just, you see people hanging out there.
Where's your mask, Beckham?
But as them pointing out, you've got this guy who's come from Brazil, so should be quarantined.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you've got Tom Cruise, Kate Moss, and David Beckham hanging out with him, even though they shouldn't be. But that's how things work. So then we'll get to Australia. Not Austria. Make that mistake. So no job, no pay has been the thing that's come out of there.
No jab, no pay.
In which they've had some minister giving a speech in which he's like, yeah, if you don't get the jab, you're not getting paid at all.
That's
so
mad.
Let's play this first clip of him saying this.
But there will be strong, you know, I suspect the majority of Australians will get vaccinated, and there will be a strong public view that those who choose not to get vaccinated there needs to be some sort of incentive stick, perhaps, through the current programs, including No Jab, No Pay, to make that happen. So I think that is a very reasonable interpretation of what the PM had to say today. Again, looking at specific things like not being able to go into restaurants, not being able to travel internationally.
So just if you
it's
don't...
Right, tyranny.
If you don't get... If the government doesn't inject you with a thing, if we don't have the right to do that, then you're not getting paid. You're not having a job.
We're literally going to ruin you and confine you to wherever it is you live.
But don't know. We're not forcing you. You can still sue your free choice. But if you say no, then you're going to be ruined.
That's awful.
Horrible thing to do. Although we've also got the New Zealand. I don't know what she is. Chairman at this point.
Chancellor of New Zealand.
Who's saying the same thing. She said it here specifically for dock workers and whatnot. So the tyranny is spreading. So there's got that. But I mean, Australia must be dying in COVID cases and COVID deaths, left, right, and center. So fair enough. I mean, the extreme measures are surely proportional to the extreme infection, which is ravaging Australia, which is why they have to put out fear porn. So make you deadly afraid so you understand how much of a risk Australia is.
I just want to say, I was watching her body language as she was talking that. I had no idea what she's saying, but all I was thinking is she's moving far too much for someone who's telling the truth. She looks like she's putting on a big act. She looks like she's trying to persuade me.
When she's saying about, we're not going to pay you.
Exactly. There's a big smile there. She's trying to suppress a grin. She knows she's getting something over on someone.
Hmm. So if we go to the fear porn, and let's play this next clip.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
They put that out. They put that out as an advert being like, get vaccinated, because, you know, so many people in Australia are dying from this. No, they're not. No. Just statistics, if we can scroll down here, so you can see the moment I took the screenshot of when the advert came out. Zero deaths, 7-day average, zero deaths. Pretty much zero deaths going all the way back to December.
It's been like this for 6-7 months.
Australia. No deaths. Zero. Nada. And yeah, they're like, yeah, come on, be afraid. You've got to be afraid. But no, if you don't get your jab, you're not getting paid.
It's mad.
Like, what a nut job state. Like, they had the insane stuff. You can see, what is it, the first and second wave there that they had, in which the chief of police was saying, if you go and buy new shoes, we'll arrest you, because that's not essential items.
Just prison colony things, I guess.
Yeah, like, unbelievably. But you can see here, I mean, since December, nothing. Nada. No deaths. Occasional blip, but nothing. And yet they're pumping out propaganda like that to try and make you as afraid as possible.
That's mad.
It's got nothing to do with COVID. No. There is no way you can argue this has anything to do with COVID. But anyway, let's go back to the UK. So some of the things I just wanted to mention is we spent £12 billion on the vaccine system now. This was back in December 2020. And we spent another £1.6 billion now, if we go to the next link, in which, yeah, another boost.
See, now this is what I think this is all about. We want everyone to get vaccinated. We want children to get vaccinated. It's like, why? Children are at no risk. And apparently they're not like super spreaders or anything like that. Why? Well, I think it's about money. I think it's because the financial company, the pharmaceutical company, sorry, are just rinsing us at this point. And if the government can be like, oh yeah, well, we can just get everyone jabbed. And there's going to be multiple jabs year after year after year. It's like, yeah.
And you're going to get booster jabs as well every other month.
Exactly, every other month. Because they're going to be making stacks of cash.
Stacks upon stacks. So then I have to wonder, looking at that fiat porn from Australia, whether that's it. They're looking at the amount of money that can be made and being like, right, how do we just terrify the populace?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why would you do that if there's no one dying?
Because money.
So then we'll go on to the other stuff that's coming out. So the minister, I think it's the Minister of Health or Minister for Vaccines, I can't remember which one, is saying that the mask wearing will be expected even beyond the day at which it's legally not going to be enforced.
Why would that be the case? Why would you expect people to wear masks when they don't have to?
Weird. And then there's the question here of being like, well, they're saying publicly that the government won't be enforcing it, but then what if private companies enforce it? That's not what they want. They want the tyranny of taking it off the government. Oh, it's not our fault. It's up to the companies to do it. Yeah. And then they just enforce it anyway, so we have to live on a such nonsense. Same saying here. Masks will be expected in crowded places, such as public transport, when most remaining COVID restrictions are lifted later this month.
Well, I look forward to debunking those expectations by not wearing my mask.
But this isn't the worst thing. This isn't the worst thing that's still coming. So apparently vaccine passports are coming. I thought we put this to bed, but apparently not. So as the Times is reporting here, COVID passports planned in time for England's autumn wave. COVID-19 certificates will be required for customers to enter bars, restaurants and nightclubs under plans to tackle a fourth wave of the virus, in a move that experts hope will boost jab rates amongst the young.
The young who are not vulnerable to COVID.
Not dying.
Not dying from COVID.
Just not happening.
If you're under 50, you're basically immune to COVID.
You've got a very, very low chance, is what we should say.
But unless you've got some sort of obvious comorbidity, you're going to be fine.
You have a very low chance. So entertainment venues in England would be forced to make customers use so-called vaccine passports from autumn. So they're not even going to have a choice in this. They're just going to have to get stuffed. So if you want to go to the cinema or go to a restaurant, they're the ones who have to enforce this by government decree. So can't even blame them, which is irritating. Mm. To prove that they have either had both doses, so both jabs, or a negative test the day before. So don't worry, you can still have your freedom to not get something stabbed into you, but you have to have a negative test the day before, which is totally not an inconvenience that is meant to make you go and get the jabs.
Yeah.
Recent figures show that a reduction in take-up of the vaccines with the first two doses halving in 2 weeks. Yeah, I wonder why that is. Unvaccinated young people are believed to be behind the rise in cases, whilst more than 95% of those over 50 have been vaccinated. So the ones who are high risk, 95% vaccinated.
The NHS has been saved. This is not going to overwhelm the NHS now.
But don't worry, younger than that. I mean, it's much lower.
And that
was
the point, remember? It was 15 days to slow the spread, like stop the curve, make sure the NHS doesn't get overwhelmed with the hordes of dying people that they're going to have to take care of. Didn't happen, and everything's fine now.
Carl, they've dealt with the over 50s, but the under 50s, the vaccination rates are appalling. It's absolutely awful.
They don't feel at risk from a disease that they're not really at risk from.
I mean, from 30 to 34-year-olds, only 76% of them are vaccinated.
What?
Yeah. The rate, 76% for those aged 30 to 34, and then it just plummets. I mean, it just goes to pathetic figures for lower ages. So far, 58% of those 18 to 20, 8, 24 have had the jab. 58%.
Why are they whining about this then?
They're like, the worst thing is happening to the world. Young people aren't getting the vaccine because only 58% of them have. And then goes up to 76, 30-year-olds. Therefore, we need COVID passports to just go and have a drink at the bar.
Mad.
It's got nothing to do with COVID.
No.
I don't buy it for a minute. I bet someone's making a ton of money off this. Yep. And also, as you mentioned about the death rates, I mean, if we go to the next link here, if you can scroll down, there's a graph here. I think it's the second image. This one here. So death rates depend on age group. BBC, this is not some wacko group. And, well, actually, fair point about the BBC being wackos, but the source being Imperial College London, just showing the amount of chance of you dying from COVID if you get it by age group. And as you can see, all the ones over 50, there's a significant risk if you
get
it.
Well, hang on a second. At 80 plus, it's 9%.
Yeah, well, I mean, for a disease killing you, that's significant risk. Therefore, you could argue it's good to get a vaccine.
Sure.
And they have.
But that's still not very high.
It's not 90% or anything, but it's not
no, it's literally not 90%. It's literally 9%.
Yeah, but if it's a 9% of chance of death for a disease that's going around, like if you were 80-year-olds and the flu was going around, you'd go and get a jab because, I mean, I don't want to die. So they've all done it. And as he said, 95% of those over 50. So all of those groups from 50 to over 80 there, all the risk groups gone, that's dealt with. That's no longer a problem because we trust the vaccine. And yet for those groups that they're annoyed about, presumably 20 to 29,
literally less than 1%.
You can't even see it. Like, the pixels are too small to be seen about what the rate of death is going to be there.
Less than 1% is the takeaway.
But not just less than 1%. As you can see, that grey bar is between 0.5 and 1.
Hmm.
So where's, look at 20 to 29?
Well, 50 to 59 is about 0.5%.
But 20 to 29 is not even on the chart.
40 to 49 is probably like 0.2%. 30 to 39 is 0.1, and then nothing below it.
But I'm trying to get across the point, as you've mentioned, which is the 20 to 29 section there. That's the bit they're saying they're worried about, and therefore that's the justification for vaccine passports. Not even on the chart as being visible as to a small percentage. I mean, not even 0.01% there, probably. It's so small. Unbelievably. But yeah, that's the justification. That's what they're using as the justification. So if we go to the data as well, in case you're wondering about, oh, well, I mean, the hospitals must be filling up. Because remember, that was the argument for the lockdowns. Hmm. Save the NHS. What does that mean? Make sure that there's not so many people in the hospital beds that mm-hmm. we're over capacity.
Yep.
Not happening. Patients admitted. It's going up, but still tiny.
Yeah. 563. Okay. We've got 120,000 beds. There are 3,000 people in hospital.
Who's going to fill the beds? Like, they're like worried that young people are getting COVID. Well, okay, sure, you'd be worried about that.
But they don't go to hospital over it.
But the death rate is so, so small that they're not going to hospital.
But have you considered that the Delta variant gives you the sniffles?
This has got nothing to do with COVID.
And that's the variant that's 99% of the COVID infections in the UK at the moment.
You can also look at the deaths there, being a nothing burger.
Yeah.
And if we scroll back up to the top, you can see the percentage of people who are vaccinated. 87% of the population got the first dose, 66% second dose. I mean, we're one of the most vaccinated countries on earth, and yet we're still walking about, oh, maybe we need vaccine passports now. What?
It's mad. Doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So, but then there's the reality of why this is the case, which is just the scientists telling us why it's the case. It's because of their left-wing ideology.
Mm-hmm.
Their leftist ideology in which they want totalitarian control of society. They don't care about what the tiny risk is. It doesn't matter. That's enough for them to try and justify it. So this is someone with the EU flag, world symbol.
Professor Dan Parsons.
Who's posted this clip of this guy who's the editor-in-chief of the, how do you say it, The Lancet?
The Lancet. Yes, that's the journal that leveraged its institutional power by conspiring to lie to the public about what the case was with COVID.
These were the guys who said there is no evidence that it came from a lab because Peter Daszak, the guy in charge of finding out where it came from, who also had ties to the lab,
yes.
had told them, nah, don't mention my work.
Yeah.
And they did.
Because mad.
They're true scientists. Proper scientists.
And certainly not in the same category as Nazi propagandists.
So they had this guy putting this clip out, and he's phrasing this as if this is a win for his totalitarian leftist side, but this just makes them look awful. So let's play the clip of him speaking.
So what we have is a government that is pursuing an ideologically driven commitment to force the population to accept a level of mortality and disability in order to release us from the situation we're in currently. This has got nothing to do with data, nothing to do with experiments. This is ideology from the libertarian right.
Based.
And I think until we confront that fact and explain that clearly to the public, that this is not about data, that this is about ideology, then we're not understanding what this government is about.
That's perfect. Yeah, no, I think we should definitely have that public conversation. On the one hand, you'll have the left who'll say, look, people might die, and therefore everything needs to be shut down forever until people stop dying. And then on the other side, you've got the memento mori conservatives who are like, look, people die, what can you do?
His words, the government is trying to force people to accept the people mortality. Die.
Yeah.
Mortality.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm forcing people to accept that because it's true.
Absolutely, 100%. This is the Chad Yes meme, I'm sorry. That's exactly it. Oh, this is right-wing ideology. I guess if your left-wing ideology makes you think you can prevent death, then sure, this becomes an ideological concern. But normally, for most people, they just think, well, yeah, obviously there's going to be a certain risk of death. I mean, like, more people are probably dying crossing the road to get their coronavirus vaccines at this point. Not even joking.
Than the young group there.
Yeah.
Like, if you're insistent they go, I don't know.
There's more risk of a young person going to, driving to it.
We're going to have to lock them down. If they go out and drive, good God, who knows what can happen.
But that's the point, isn't it? Like, this idea that, oh, we can just prevent people from dying. They're trying to get you to accept that people die. Yeah, that's just part of the human condition. Remember that you must die, Osage scientists. Editors of the Lancet or whatever it is. Like, sorry, people die. It's just the way of the world. You can't actually stop it.
You know, I'm immortal. But that's what's behind it. I mean, as we saw with the Australians there, the fact that no one's dying and yet they're still freaking out, well, it's to do with ideology. Mm. It has nothing to do with the data, as he says, because look at the data. Zero deaths. Next to zero for the entire period of now till December. And yet they're like, be afraid. Be deadly afraid.
So yeah, it is all about ideology. I agree. Leftist ideology that wants totalitarian control of the country, or right-wing ideology that wants us to be free.
Mm. Thanks for saying.
Yeah.
So I also love the idea that he's like, the conservative government's been voted in, is acting conservatively. Why aren't they being communists like us?
Good question.
Mm. They should never be communists, which is why the communists on the Sage board should have all been fired long ago.
Oh, gotcha.
And it's a strict embarrassment to the Conservative Party that they can't even fight communism.
Yeah, you can't, like, literally, if someone is a member of the Communist Party, you just don't employ them.
It's nowhere near the levers of government.
No.
You are the Conservative Party who was elected, and you're like, yeah, well, I know she's a communist, but what are we going
to
do?
She does want us to lock down. It's insufferable.
I hate how limp-wristed. I mean, if you cannot fight communism, what is the point of you? There is nothing you can do if you can't even do that. Anyway, moving on. Mm. So let's go to the United States. How does the US stand on all this stuff for vaccine passports?
Well, I know how Based Florida Man feels about it.
Yeah, Based Florida Man banned them. And a load of other people followed Florida Man's example. In fact, 14 have based Florida Man's opinion.
The Americans are going to be the last free people on Earth, I swear to God.
Yeah, I couldn't go through all of them, but of course most of them are Republican. All of them are probably actually Republican. Of course, Texas and Florida, both being based, banned them. There are two states that do enforce them, Hawaii and New York. So Hawaii uses them apparently for if you want to go in and out of Hawaii to the United States. So I can kind of get that where it's like, it's kind of a foreign place, let's be honest.
But New York, the absolute hotbed where Cuomo was shoving COVID patients into nursing homes. Oh, now you need a vaccine passport. Pull the other one.
So the thing in New York as well, they don't have it for going interstate travel is my understanding, but it says in here that they have it. At least some sports and performance venues, such as Madison Square Garden and Yankee Stadium, have used the Excelsior Pass to prove vaccination. So if you want to go into an event, you have to prove with this app from the government. You've got to download.
Get bent. No way.
Yeah. So the two states there, both of them being blue. And then you've got California. California apparently hasn't implemented them because they haven't figured it out yet.
I'm amazed they haven't just made them mandatory, to be honest.
Even though they don't work. So the thing he says is like, well, we don't have them yet. So Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom said on June 11th that California is working on an electronic vaccination verification system for businesses, but also clarified that there is no mandate requirement, no passport, because they haven't done it yet. We're currently working on it, therefore we don't have one. We're a free place. But you're literally saying, like, yeah, we're working on it, and we're going to be implementing it as soon as it's done.
There is a reason that people are fleeing California and New York. The two most desirable places to live in the United States are bleeding population. Most somehow.
Desirable. Most desirable. I mean, this is funny, because, I mean...
Oh, they were. For hundreds of years.
That's what I mean. Like, from an outsider's perspective, look, whenever you talk to people who are normies who don't know anything about...
New York has got a legendary reputation.
New York, California.
California has a legendary reputation, and the left has just driven them into the ground.
And... anyone looking at him just now would be like, rather not.
Oh, yeah, it always used to be, I'd love to live in San Francisco or Los Angeles or New York. And it's just like now, I mean, you know.
Nuts?
Yeah, exactly, you know. Why?
Yeah, so the interesting thing is they mention in here the World Health Organization actually backs up the position of we don't need this. And the World Health Organization quote in the, the Economic Forum has written here, national authorities and conveyance operators should not introduce requirements of proof of COVID-19 vaccination for international travel as a condition for departure or entry, given that there are still critical unknowns regarding the efficacy of vaccination in reducing transmission.
And I have seen a lot of people self-reporting on the internet that I got the vaccine, I'm double vaccinated, and somehow I tested positive for COVID.
But I love it. It's the World Health Organization's positions of don't do this, and the New York governor and Hawaii have both not taken that advice, implemented them. Conservative government is thinking of implementing them.
Yep.
How interesting.
And what the thing I really get annoyed about this is that it's not like the vaccines are risk-free. Like, sorry, but I
know. Any scientist will say that.
Yeah, I know.
There are risks involved with everything.
I mean, you know people, I know people, like actual people who have had genuine problems, like life-altering problems because of these vaccines. Two BBC presenters died after taking these vaccines. Like, I'm sorry, too many people are relying on me for me to take a risk. Like, I've had COVID. I'm not having a vaccine for something I've already had and been fine with.
But I just can't over the incessance. The incessance in Australia that you be afraid, even though no one's dying. And then in the UK, you definitely should get the vaccine, even though...
Everyone's got the vaccine.
The thing they're complaining about is not like, oh man, you're 80 years old and you haven't got it. Come on, man, there might be side effects, but it's worth it because you have a higher risk of dying from this than the side effects. No, yeah. It's not that. It's the young people. Yeah. The 18 to 24-year-olds. Yeah. That's the one they're complaining about. They're like, right, tyrannize the country. Why? 18 to 24-year-olds aren't dying and therefore we need to get them the vaccine.
Mad.
Huh. So, just to mention the last thing here, this is the BBC, which did an oopsie, I think, publishing this article. Dying too young, maps show little has changed in 170 years. And they wanted to demonstrate the inequality in Britain and the fact that the class system still remains because the areas in which people are dying from COVID is similar to where you map, youth mortality around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see child mortality, 18 to 1851, and you can see the map there. And then the next map they have is of where people are dying with COVID. We can scroll down, go to the next map. Then you can see that. But one of the things I have to wonder is I look at the Southwest there and I think, what's the point in all this? Southwest. One of the oldest regions in the country, as in most people here are very old compared to other regions in the country, London being the youngest. And yet, nothing. Fewer than 100 deaths in every region there.
Sure, but I can't help but notice that this just maps on, obviously, to population density.
The diseased cities are the problem.
Yeah, the more dense the population, the less healthy the area. Whoa, breaking news. Big shock.
But anyway, be afraid. Be deadly afraid, as the Australian government will tell you. And definitely give them your money, because I don't know what else they want.
This is all about money. I'm sure it's all about money.
Zero deaths. Just since December. I mean, what a world.
Don't know what you can say to it.
Let's go to the video comments.
Behold, Cam's face upon learning the gay agenda is in fact actually real. It's amusing, but I think I have a little bit of a story to tell you. You see, me and my dad once, 10 to 12 years ago, had to walk through a gay pride march to get to Sea Life to have a nice father-son outing together. And a very naked, very kink-wearing man, yes, 10 to 12 years ago, approached child 14-year-old Harry. Do you want to know how this story ended? Let's see how surprised you are.
I don't really.
I actually am curious now.
Now, 14-year-old Harry, as I am now, was into martial arts. So when this gay man would not take no for an answer, before my dad could even say anything in my defense, who was actually shorter than me, I just broke this kink-wearing man's nose. And then me and my dad just started to walk off. Guess who the pride people booed? Was it the man who wouldn't take no from an answer from a child? No, it was me! Of course it was me.
Of course it was.
I saw people in the chat asking about Cuba. We run out of time, we'll do Cuba tomorrow, most likely. There's also a lot of clips I found just before we went live, so they'll probably be added as well.
Yeah, sorry, it took longer than we were expecting, but I knew the football thing was going to go on, so maybe I should have predicted it.
Wow, it was worth it anyway.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one. What? Is it a K? People listening, though, there's...
Honestly, it's better than the P.
Yeah. For people listening, it was a video in which they had a bunch of the alphabet people, and they've added a K now, and then just an image of a cat walking across a keyboard.
So this is the notes that I had written down from thinking when I had heard about the coronavirus back on January 24th last year. And I compared it to MERS and SARS without even really knowing what a coronavirus is. This Wuhan pneumonia. On the same day I met a Chad. And I think I was pretty much right. I still haven't came from this guess.
I didn't really follow that.
No, neither did I. Sorry.
So, Callum, last Friday you asked why soldiers still have to shave and why we can't just make better gas masks. Well, let me demonstrate. Gas, gas, gas! Gas, gas, gas! So, once you have a gas mask on, you actually still get air between where your beard is. Even with these new gas masks, it's still not airtight.
There we go.
Hey, Lotus Eaters. I wanted your guys' opinion about taxation being theft. I know you, Carl, you had a debate with a couple of libertarians about this, and I agreed with you. But, like, what's happening now with, like, people living off government gifts and unemployment, like, it changed my mind. Like, I have a friend that has never had a job in his life, is on unemployment, and he spends his money on PC parts and video games. Like, this really feels like a politician taking my money, skimming off the top, and then giving it to people that are more likely to vote for that politician.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, my mind has been more and more changed because I think that I would still have that position. I would still be like, look, you know, taxation is necessary to have a government and a properly regulated society. But the point is there's a social contract that underpins that, isn't there? It's like, look, okay, so we're going to take money from you, and in exchange, we're going to be responsible with that money. And if there's one thing that we've seen recently, it's that politicians are not being responsible with this money. And so I am becoming more sympathetic to the position that taxation may be a form of theft, because I do seem to be getting...
Absolutely is.
Well,
Ben Shapiro, no, even Ben Shapiro's like, yeah, it definitely is theft. It's just, is it worth it?
Well, then, I suppose, but...
Getting robbed to pay for the national security. Getting robbed to pay for gender studies in Pakistan.
I'm just saying the voluntarist arguments are becoming stronger given everything that Biden's doing and everything the government's doing. It's just giving our hard-earned money to these giant pharmaceutical companies and then tyrannizing us to be like, right now you have to have the vaccine that you've paid for or else. And then you've got Biden just literally ruining businesses to make it unprofitable to go to work. Yeah, I'm starting to lean towards the taxation might be theft argument as well.
The more reality you see, the more it's true.
Just
because it's true.
I mean, in principle, if you had responsible politicians who understood the kind of social contract that was between...
Inherently it is theft. It's just, is it worth it?
I don't agree, but like...
It may not be.
Well, I don't want to get into a big debate about it because
it's just fundamentally like they're just taking it from you by force. Well, then it has to be theft. It's I'm not like autistically going to
without,
be like no taxes.
Without then, but... a form of opting out, I agree. You could frame it as a form of theft. But again, like
logically,
okay, yeah, you could adopt the sort of is it worth it perspective, and I agree in that you in normal times when you had responsible politicians, you would have an understanding. You know, the politicians
it would be more worth it.
It would be worth it, but not just that, the politicians, but look, the whole point of us is to manage things that you can't manage yourself, and we have an obligation to be as frugal as possible, to be as efficient as possible, to be as uncorrupted as possible. And at this point, Biden's just like, mortgage your future, here's money, 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 money. And it's like, yeah, okay, enough.
Yeah.
Absolutely enough. Can't stand it.
The shakedown is totally not worth it.
Yeah, it's obviously a shakedown.
I was thinking about the gas masks. I have seen like an American design where it's more like bulky around here. The more thing I was worrying about, like I understand like you have to shave all this because that's where the plastic or rubber seals. But why a mustache? Like why can't you have that? Because I mean, like you look at World War One and like Melchior and whatnot. Like you could put the gas mask on there and you could still keep the mustache.
Maybe it's just too Chad for the military these days. Yeah. Oh, apparently
someone is saying that you can have a mustache.
Right. Okay. Well, let's carry
good
on.
To know. Well, you want to see more Melchiors.
Callum expressed disdain for herbal medicine and pre-scientific medicine in general on Friday's podcast. I exhort you to be more respectful of ancient knowledge in as much as they aren't stupid people just because they're old people. And to give you an example of what works, willow bark. Willow bark for pain relief. Look it up.
That's not what I said, though. Or at least not what I was trying to say.
What were you trying to say?
Well, there are claims of this herbal medicine will work. That doesn't make them true or false. And that's the point I was trying to get across, which is that you can have a man of the past who says this this herbal remedy will work. Mm-hmm. And if they are working, then that's a legitimate form of medicine mm-hmm. man. But if it's just hokum, then that's not a legitimate form of medicine man. Like the carving of holes into the skull.
Brilliant analysis there, Callum.
But that's what you
If it works, then it's right. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't.
No, you were arguing that druid medicine man is valid. And I was like, yeah, but what if he's not doing anything good? And then you were like, yeah, it's still valid. And I'm like, what?
No. But the point I think you're missing is that the things they do work, and they work through generations upon generations of trial and error. Right.
No.
Yes.
But you can't just say medicine man does this and therefore it must work because generations have done it.
No, I'm not saying in anyone
with the druids. How much of their stuff worked, how much of it didn't?
Well, the things they did work, that's the point. Right. We have ancient reports of them curing diseases using various herbs and stuff like this. Things that we don't even know what the herb was that they're talking about now. Right. And may have gone extinct. And so it's the things they did work, and they worked because of a long period of trial and error. It's not just a priori that medicine man says it, therefore it works.
Well, that's how you came across when you were saying that, well, he's a medicine man. I was like, yeah, but he's a druid medicine man. How do I know anything he did worked? But you'd have to give me the examples, and we'd have to...
The willow bark example is a good one, because it's got aspirin in.
Exactly.
Right? And so but that's, again, through trial and error. Someone figured out, actually, this feels better or whatever. And so this becomes part of their toolkit. They generally were actually better than you think.
You're saying this because I don't know what worked and what didn't. Like, I know ancient Egyptian doctors, for example, had quite a few things that did work, and it was amazing for the time they managed to figure them out.
But almost everything they did worked at the thing they were trying to do.
It's not almost everything. There was a lot of hokum.
Well, yeah, there is always a lot of hokum. There's a lot of hokum now. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of hokum in science now. But the point is, like, people pay doctors for results, right? And so they weren't ignorant savages, right? They knew that opium would provide pain relief. They knew that, like, it was only in the second century you had Galen doing cataract surgery. You know, this is mad, way ahead of his time, you know? So it's like these people.
But then you've got like it's the funny thing, though, because you get that boost in like medical knowledge. And then when you get to the medieval era, like medieval European medical knowledge somehow went down.
Oh, it was really poor, yeah.
And, you know, Arabian medical knowledge took over it, but it's
well, that's because they inherited.
It's the weird thing of it dying in the Middle Ages.
Yeah,
like how did you lose knowledge?
Because they didn't speak Latin, because they didn't follow the traditions. Whereas the Arabs inherited the institutions of the Greeks in the East, and so they inherited all of this knowledge. This is why, like the sort of Arab Enlightenment or Renaissance or whatever you want to call it, it's kind of like, well, I mean, you know,
they're not really Arab.
Well, no, that's the point. They're like, oh, look, they preserved all this knowledge. It's like, yeah, what were the Greeks going to do? Burn down their own knowledge? They weren't going to burn down their own libraries.
But I always read it as like Arab, like Al Jazeera making a big thing, like the Arab Renaissance. What did they do? They read some stuff the Greeks did.
And yes.
Like, that's not the Arabs doing it then, is it?
Well, they're like, oh, they preserved it through the Middle Ages as if the Greeks were just going to take a torch to their own libraries and just be like, yeah. Just,
what's the big think they came up with to get all this? They read. Right. Okay. Yeah. Right, that's not a Renaissance then.
Yes.
Like, they've read someone else's work.
Like, a lot of it, they'll read Aristotle or something and be like, oh, that's a good idea.
But that's majority of what the Arab Golden Age is. It's held up as being like, oh my God.
There are a few examples of innovations that the Arabs themselves came up with. So, yeah. I mean, you can't say they didn't contribute anything.
Absolutely.
But a lot of it was just inherited from the Greeks.
But the phraseology I get from, like, Al Jazeera and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, as if this is all new and, yeah, they created it out of nothing. BS. Yeah, no, that's not true.
Let's go for the next one.
I come from a really remote, small area, and so everyone knows everyone. And basically, if someone actually does find their way to our town, it's like, where'd you come from? How'd you even hear about us? Whether they're moving in or they're just visiting, because it's just so remote. And we have derogatory terms for some of the people who come from out of town, usually when they're just rude and don't clean up after themselves. We call them flatlanders because we're in the mountains. And so it's totally normal for people of a small town to be like, hey, where'd you come from?
I like the idea that you're going down to like the road signs that show where to get to your village, and you're just destroying them. No one will find us.
But she's completely right. Like, people in small towns, outsiders are unusual, noteworthy.
What's the English? I think Auslander. It's like the English version.
Auslander, yeah.
Just means foreigner.
Yeah.
Since my 4th of July video got memed last week, I feel I must defend my honor. I was not flexing the freedom to consume sugar water. I was pointing out the patriotism of my beverage. It was Mountain Dew SA, made from a red drink, a white drink, and a blue drink, hence its odd coloration that Callum noted and discussed, and it was mixed with Smirnoff Red, White, and Berry. So the point I was making was that I was drinking a patriotic cocktail on the beach to celebrate the 4th of July.
Yeah, that Callum. Is devotion to your country. Not sure it's an honorable one. I don't know what else to say. Just...
Is that the last video comment?
Guys? Is that the last one, or...?
Okay.
I don't want to say base China, but I can respect them for banning the alphabet people. No fan of state intervention when it comes to social interaction, but I don't support equality when it comes to everyone being heard, as if human beings have the inherent ability to wield that power responsibly with unblemished moral proficiency. The idea that it's a virtue to give plausibility to everything is an absurdity. Even classical liberalism says, but you may not bring harm to others. Well, what happens when certain people advocate for degenerate ideas that undermine the moral foundations of your society that facilitate the protection of its social cohesion? Who, what, and when, then, is your counterpunch?
Well, that's a good question. Hmm. And why we are where we are.
Let's go for the next one.
Hey, sorry about last week. Was doing kind of a Ben Shapiro impression with that speed. So... my question this week is, I think our nomadic culture is a bit of a problem. The fact that no one's ever in one place for long. What do you think we can do about it? Like, we used to have people stay in places for generations, and they had to fix the problems that were there.
God, I don't know if we can. He's right that it's a problem.
Mm. And he's right that... the people didn't used to travel as much. I mean, I think this is just a consequence of the modern era that we can't really change. I don't really want the government being like, you can't travel. They're already doing that and I hate it.
It's the problem with rich leftists, though. Like, they destroy a place and then just move somewhere else and destroy that and then move and destroy that. And it's just like, great, wonderful. Thanks for that, lads. Like, imagine being the place they move to.
Vote blue no matter who.
Yeah.
So, clearly the transracial thing destroys the claims of the race communists. Why do the intersectional thought leaders embrace transgenderism without first solving the transracial problem, given this was the inevitable conclusion? Is the built-in schism and logical inconsistency deliberate, to destroy people's ability to trust their own reason? Or is it the pathological drive to destroy boundaries, or both? Also, Harry Thornton, can you post the link to your channel in the comments? I missed it the first time.
Great question that I don't have an answer to. The why of
why didn't they solve it?
Well, there is no solving it. That's the problem. The problem, I think, is that the intersectional activists, critical race theorists, they come out of a racial tradition. And so all of this sort of stuff being sort of full spectrum communism essentially puts them in a position where they know that they are committed in certain areas to ideas that will be destroyed by their own ideology. And so this is why the response has just been, right, we can't engage it. Can't engage with that, can't engage with that, can't engage with that. Gender can be abolished, but race can't be abolished. Don't know what they're going to do about it. Don't know what they...
Like, this is our problem. Your mess, you solve it.
Well, yeah.
I don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't organize the world along these lines. I wouldn't view the world along these lines. So I don't have a solution, but I'm interested to see where they're going to go with it. This is why we're essentially promoting the transracial stuff. And it was nice to see, like, you know, leftist talking heads being like, look, this is the issue that we can't solve. It's like, well, you can solve it. It's just, I mean, it kind of implies that, but yeah, it's a difficult contradiction for them to deal with, and let's hope it crushes them.
Yeah. It's also not our problem. Let them die in their own mediocrity.
Yeah.
Hey, Carl. I'd love some words of wisdom if you've got them. So I have a fiance and a house, and I'm looking to get married very soon and look to get some children. And this announcement about vaccine passports from the government has me terrified. I have no intention of taking anything they want to inject me with, and I feel like I'm being forced into a corner with nowhere to run, and I really don't know what to do about it.
I would suggest tough it out, because I don't think it'll be able to last forever. There have been a lot of questions around menstrual cycles for women, and apparently, I saw a statistic the other day, there's been a massive increase in lost births, miscarriages, and stuff like this, but I haven't got any data on that, so I'm not going to say one way or another. But I just be careful, and I don't think you have to do anything yet. And I think that this will pass as well. I don't think this is going to last forever.
The current status of that as well is that the Downing Street sources have said they're looking at it. They haven't confirmed it, but if they do go through with it, I don't think it's going to work. I think people are just going to ignore it anyway.
Yeah.
So there's that. But I'm eventually going to have to get it to go abroad because of the places I want to go, but that's about it. Which, if you don't want to, well, then what are they going to do?
I guess I'm not going anywhere.
Let's go for the next one.
Callum was asking about World War I grooming standards. You can see only a mustache could be worn while providing a proper seal with his original German World War I gas mask. Fashion of the day from Kitchener to the Kaiser. Who wouldn't want to have a luxurious handlebar mustache?
I wonder if you could explain as well on the German ones. Why do they have those, like, birdcage things in the eyelets? Like, is it just structural integrity? Do they not figure out how to make just solid glass? Because when you're playing World War I games and that's simulated, it's really horrible to look through. Like, whenever you play a World War I game, you want to play as the Allies, because if there's gas, you're screwed at the moment. Let's go to the next one.
Good day, Lotus Eaters. This sign reminds me of one of your articles, that government should be the one to keep us safe. And by the looks of the beaten path, I think that others agree. By the way, the origin of word Poland is pole, which means field.
I couldn't quite make that out, just the wind.
The origin of the word Poland is from pola, which means field.
Oh, that should all be land of the Poles. But isn't it in Polish something else, though? That's
Polska or something.
Yeah. Maybe so, in English we just say Pol...
Maybe. I don't know. Thomas says, they can't filter out the N-word on Twitter and allow black rappers at the same time.
Ooh, that's the point.
That's true, but why do they let it trend?
Why be racist to censor it? You'd be censoring black people.
I have a funny feeling that the N-word trending on Twitter is a form of racism.
I don't know about that, Chief. Sounds like anti-racism to me.
If everything else is racism, then, and Carl, you mentioned that you talked to your daughter about how to deconstruct SJW teachings. Maybe do a mini-series about talking to your child about critical race theory and how to seed an understanding of the lack of logic in it. Yes, probably. We'll need to do something like that. That's correct. Free Will says, Marxism cannot take control of a reasonably prosperous, stable country, obviously. Because of the pandemic, economic stability has been undermined, and authoritarianism is gaining ground. Sensing an opportunity, they are now undermining and infiltrating everything that they can in order to sow discord. Because only in a state of chaos and division can provide them with the opportunity to take control. That's correct. I mean, that's literally been the drive of Marxism for the last 100 years, is how can we destabilize the West in order to facilitate a revolution? Omar says, I'm not a football person, so I'm not invested in either team winning. I'm just glad we no longer have to be subjected to black lads missing, proselytizing about their England team salute of the day. Maybe if they'd spent more time practicing football than kneeling, football would be coming home instead of going to Rome.
That's good.
Well, I mean, how's he wrong?
Yeah. Although it's not going to be this. It won't end here, of course. No, of course. Whatever event's coming up in the next couple of months will be hijacked by these losers.
Yep, but it's nice to see them stake everything on this one thing and then that not coming to fruition. Good. George says, I don't care about football, but I'm glad the kneeling team didn't win. Yeah, me too. Communists don't represent your country and you shouldn't support them out of a national unity. I agree. I'll do a video about this at some point, or a thing, because I'm sick of the face mask. The communists just wearing the face mask and saying...
We're the England team.
Yeah, love me.
So you're a socialist.
But I can see that you're a monster wearing the skin of the person I used to love. Like, don't you love me now? No, I love my wife or my kids. You wearing their skins is kind of awful and makes me hate you. So anyway, Also, if you're going to attach immigration as a talking point to your team and then they lose, some people, of course, would be against it. The SJWs made a rod for their own back. Yeah, that was the thing. This is without immigration, we might have a winning team, is what they're saying.
The only England team to ever win a World Cup didn't have diversity, so...
Edward says,
I don't want the world to be like this, but if they're going to racialize the world, then that's what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. Bunch of millionaires being paid to kick a leather ball across a pitch happened to kneel for racial justice. Ah, yes. Marxism. Marxism didn't bring it home, though, did it? Ban the commies. Ban them all. Kekistani Freedom Fighter says, something tells me Southgate's choice for penalty takers was heavily influenced by his woke ideology. He wanted the headlines to read, diversity won the cup. Hard to say that. That wasn't something I would suspect as well. I strongly suspect that he had that in mind. I mean, Gareth Southgate was publicly woke, defended his wokeness, was pretty much as woke as one could be. Like, in the face of massive amounts of resistance from the fans themselves, writes a big explanation of, look, I'm woke and I can't help it. And then he's like, right, I'm going to pick these three inexperienced lads to do the penalties because why? Well, they are black. And it's like, how do you escape that logic? You know, that's...
What if you didn't pick them, then what? That's because you didn't let the black guys go up.
Exactly. You prevented the black guys from taking their shot. Because you're a racist, Gareth. Nathan says, the only thing England came home with was an L for lockdowns. Azrael says, I grew up believing that a leader should give all the credit and take all the blame. Funny how the proponents of diversity take the exact opposite approach. Well, in Southgate's defense, he did take the blame. So... Dude number 9 says, I really hope he didn't choose the penalty takers based on race, but it does make sense. Making a 19-year-old kid take the most important penalty is shocking. Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing. I can't understand why he would have chosen someone who'd never done this before as the guy to be the last one, or, you know, one of the last ones.
But he has diversity on his side. And diversity is our strength. Therefore, he is the strongest and best penalty taker.
Exactly. He's the most diverse on the team. You know, it's not how it works. Lost says,
I absolutely love that phrase has become such a meme.
Yeah,
I love
such
it.
A meme. Diversity is our strength as they lose and lose and lose and lose. Lost Alone says, am I the only one who thinks that Three Lions Pride sounds like it was an ale available on tap during Euro 96? Well, it does now you mention it. Zeos says, just wait until they start refusing to play because the fans voted for the wrong candidate. Well, that's not outside the realms of possibility, is it?
What does it mean?
Well, if like people vote for Boris, they might be like, I'm not playing.
What?
Maybe.
I'm not playing for England. Why? Boris is in charge of the country.
Yeah.
They will end up doing that, won't they?
They will, because they were like, oh, this is not the Tories' vision of England. Mm. It's our progressive vision of England. It's like, yeah, but nobody wants that.
I can imagine calling the Tories, whatever.
Yeah, I know. Oh, the base Tories. Blue says, listening to this at work, I still feel sorry for the 19-year-old being put on that spot. Yeah, I agree. You know, I agree. Like, this is a hell of a lot to put on this lad, and it's unleashed, like, all of the worst elements of the internet. And so, like, Gareth Southgate going, yeah, well, this is my fault. Yeah, I think it might have been, actually, Gareth. Mm. You're the one who racialized it and turned it into a woke diversity initiative. You're the one who chose this poor lad who had no experience doing it to set him up to fail, essentially. And now he's the one getting the backlash. And, yeah, whose fault is it?
Be interesting to see in 2060 if these lads, when they're grown up, look back at this and think, why were we being used for Marxist pawns?
Good point. Good point. I mean, yeah, literally at 19, I wouldn't know anything about it either. Mm. You know, I'm just here to play football. You know, oh, everything's about race now. Well, I guess we're all woke. And yeah, I mean, hopefully in a few years' time, they'll realize how they're being used. Alexander says, when Beckham got sent off, people were hanging effigies of him from nooses and burning them. Something tells me these kids Southgate threw under the bus will get off a lot easier. England looked sad and played sad last night. It was not the performance of a home team. Oof. I didn't watch it, so.
No, I don't watch it either.
MEP Flyerboy says, wokeism is doing exactly what it says on the tin, racial division. That's correct. Sean says, Callum, this isn't a Yankee ideology, it's a Marxist ideology. Marxism has much to do with American culture and philosophy as green cheese does with the moon.
No, come on. Critical race theory and woke politics in the dichotomy of white and black is explicitly Yankee. You have the Marxist element that then goes from France and Germany, it goes to the American universities and becomes left-wing thought in America. which is why your left-wing politics is full of it, and why it slowly infects the rest of the world, and everyone turns around and is like, why did this come from America?
Sorry, it is the fact.
Like, I really wish it didn't come from the goddamn Anglosphere. It's an embarrassment to us all, don't get me wrong. But
yeah, I don't know why anyone in the Anglosphere would read something a Frenchman had written.
Like, of course, the originality does come from the Europeans, as every bad idea does.
But it's not a Republican philosophy, if that's what you want to go for. You know, the Republicans aren't the people responsible for this.
Founding fathers would never agree to any of this.
No, it all comes from the Democrats. So, yeah. A student of history says, it seems to be less of an issue that the Italian members being racist and the Italian guy playing dirty as S and that Italy soccer team seems to have learned a thing or two from the mafia, passing some money around, if you catch my drift.
Just makes me think of, like, you go ask them, like, who inspired you to play the game like this? Maradona.
Justin says, to be fair to Southgate, if he hadn't put those three out, he'd have been shouted at for being racist, for not thinking they were good enough to take the penalties. And he would have been right, wouldn't he? David Shipton. That is the thing, though, isn't it? He has been placed in the... He placed himself, in fact, in this impossible position. Employ woke politics and then force yourself to present the woke view of the world, which is, you didn't choose these young lads who have never done this before because they're black. It's like, any normal person would be like, well, no, it's because they're young lads and they've never done this before.
This is the circle firing squad. Yeah. You're getting left-wing politics being applied here. There is no winning. You adopt this ideology, there is no way you can win. You will end up losing. It's just a matter of when.
No reasonable person would have been like, yeah, it's because you hate black people, Gareth. Like, no reasonable person would have done that. Like, you would have to be an insane leftist or massive racist to do that. I said or. And, I meant. David says, the funniest thing about all this is that the comments from people who have obviously never followed England before it became a political weapon. Yes, looking at you, Owen Jones and Ash Sarkar. Obviously not football fans. Embarrassingly not. And just to be clear, I'm not a football fan either.
You get it with politicians as well. Yeah. Even right wingers, where I'm just looking at them like, just say you don't like football.
Yeah.
It's not hard. No one's going to judge you for it. Just be like, fine, whatever.
Watching all the Islamo leftists going like, oh, I'm for England, like Zara Sultana and stuff like that.
They're there for the Marxism. Like, that I can see.
Of course they are.
With them, it's you know, it's cringe, but it's understandable. With, like, the politicians doing it, I just look at them and think, oh, come on, shut up. Yeah. Like, this doesn't look good.
Especially left wing Labour politicians. And dare I bring up gender as well? You know, how many of these female politicians who are now wearing England shirts actually watch football? Not many.
Zara Sultana, probably the best example.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like,
such an obvious grift. I've never posted about football on my timeline before, but now here's me in an England shirt.
It's not even that. It's like taking videos of themselves jumping up and down to the goal being scored as if that spontaneously happened. No one believes that.
See Salvini, though.
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's great. He actually did, like, take a video of himself spontaneously, just yelling, ah, you know, yes, 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 to, and his wife's just like, oh, God. And he's like, yes! And that actually felt spontaneous, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
I believe
what
Salvini.
What if it felt cringe, like the wife joining in for no reason?
No, she hated it. You could tell she was hating it. But he's just yelling, see, see, see! It's, oh, God damn it.
Yeah. Why am I Italian?
Liam says, I'm not against being vaccinated, I'm against being coerced. Exactly the right way of framing it. I will have the vaccine when I'm free, and the longer they drag this out, the longer I'll hold out. Stop this madness. It's over. Humanity survived the virus. Now let's start picking up the pieces of our extraordinary acts of self-harm. Now, that's exactly how I feel about it. I'm not against vaccines or anything. I've been vaccinated for various diseases over my life. I just don't want to be told that I have to. And frankly, well, I'm not sure I know too many people who have had really negative side effects from this vaccine. You know, I'm not just going to take it. I think it's actually kind of irresponsible. If I'm not at risk of it, I'm not just taking it.
It's got to be commensurate.
Yes. Adria De La Fuente says, I'm currently sick with COVID, and I have to say I've never been more disappointed of the reaction of the world to a flu. But hey, now I have certainty of it, not just the intuition. Well, yeah, I had it, you know. I'm looking forward to getting the Delta variant. Sniffles.
God, you sound like Nurgle.
Well, it's a cold. The way they describe it is a cold. You'll get a headache and a runny nose, and maybe even a sore throat. I've got a slightly sore throat today. Maybe. Foothouse says, as for no jab, no pay, the absolute authoritarianism from the government with the support of all social media suggests so Big Pharma can make more money is the most insane thing I've seen in years. Yeah, I mean, I think it's time for us to accept that the governments are just out of control. All of our governments are out of control at this point. Mm. Like, you have no control over the government. You can't restrain them in any way. They have gone full totalitarian at this point. And this is everywhere.
I suppose the only advice is just make some money off the stocks.
Yeah, do your best. But the governments are way out of control. Jonah says, the PR and social sciences pressure on the people of the West is insane. The fear motivation is simply beyond the pale. And they did admit that this was unethical the other day, the SAGE scientists. One of their study groups was like, yeah, we use fear as a tool of control. We think that might have been unethical. It's like, really, you think? You think it might be unethical to lock people in their homes for a year by fear-mongering that they're all going to die?
Nah, fear wow. as a tool is totally ethical. It's the yeah. most ethical thing.
Yeah, just... Well, no, they come out and admit it, but there's going to be no comeuppance. No one's going to be held to account for any of this. How is this not illegal in a liberal democracy? Great question. But we're not liberal democracies. We're actually totalitarian states. The masks have been ripped away now. I mean, what more do you need? The government's literally going to prevent you from working if you haven't had this jab. In Australia, and it's not like things are much better here. So, I mean, I don't see how we can claim to be liberal democracies anymore. The PR is, in essence, propaganda, yet we have done nothing to properly legislate against the disastrous consequences of such fear-mongering. Yeah, I know. A bunch of people should be... Name redacted. As far as vaccinations go, my body, my choice. I also identify as vaccinated. Otherwise, you're a vaxphobe. Yep, that's how I'm going to be doing it. Social distancing, mask mandates, and quarantine are for the plebs. Our overlords are exempt. Yeah, that's the thing. They are. Like you showed with the football box. All the celebrities sat side to side, no masks.
Some of them from red hot areas yeah. that are meant to be completely banned.
Brazil, yeah.
And yeah. Like one of the players, I think one of the players had family there and he was having to like Skype them.
Mm.
And there's like the FIFA boss just, what does he care?
Trans vax is real vax, as John points out. Good point. But this is a really great point from Will here. These are not incentives to get the vaccine. They are punishments if you don't. Good point. Perfectly made.
Great way of pointing it. And on that bombshell, it's time to end the show. Oh, sorry. So we will be back.
I love the way every comment that we finish is a bombshell.
I'm just stealing Jeremy Clarkson's outro, I'll be honest. But if that wasn't clear.
At least you're not stealing Keemstar's intro.
I don't know. Maybe I'll rotate. I'll just keep finding people's sign-on and sign-offs and just randomly throw them in, see until you recognize them. Yeah, that sounds like fun. Might start doing that. Anyway, if you want more from us, we'll be back 1 o'clock tomorrow. Otherwise, go to loadcities.com. As I mentioned, there's the Epochs on there and the Contemplations, which is premium. All the new article from John Tangney.
The Epochs is good.
Which is free. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you. Goodbye.